Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Did you bring your Bibles? Turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. And we're going to read verses 13 through 16, and then we're just going to allow the Holy Spirit to have his way. Amen? So pray with me. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this day. For this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Lord, I'm asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. I've entitled this morning's message, Let Your Light So Shine. Let Your Light So Shine. Before we get into the scripture, I was before the Lord this week, and God really impressed upon my heart to let us know the time that we live in. As we know, we see the chaos in the world, but God is saying, do not walk in fear, but walk in faith. Amen. Listen, many of our friends and family members, extended family, co-workers, acquaintances, a lot of them are asking, what in the heck is going on? And God is saying to us as believers, as the church, to have an answer for them. And you know what that answer is? It's Christ. It's Jesus. We need to point them to the cross. Amen. We need to let them know that, you know what? Our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our only hope. There is no other hope. Listen, forget about your 401k. Forget about your retirement plan. Forget about everything else. Our only hope is in Christ. And so are we there? Matthew 5, let's go there to the Word. And the Word of God reads, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light. Say that with me. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill that cannot be hidden. Verse 15. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Praise God. Praise God. And so, saints of God, hear me clearly. In order for born-again believers to have their lights shine so bright, their lives need to be totally surrendered to God. You see, we can't have one foot in the church and one foot in the world. Can I get amen? You know why? Because the anointing will not abide upon you. God is looking for those sold out believers that will walk in his ways, that will walk in a walk of obedience unto him, and that would hear his voice. We're going to see some scriptures about hearing his voice and obeying God. And so, my friends, right up here on the screen, to the best of your knowledge, are you fully surrendered to Jesus Christ? That's a good question, isn't it? Listen, it's not my job to put a measure on anybody and to put a test measure, amen? Your convictions need to be lined up with Jesus Christ, with the Word of God. All I can do is convey a message and give you the hope of glory and encourage you. That's about it. I'm not up here to dictate and to be a taskmaster. No, the Bible says Satan was our taskmaster before we got saved. Amen? We were under that yoke of bondage. God has set us free. For whom the Son sets free is what?
Free indeed.
Free indeed. How many are so blessed to know that you're free in Christ? Amen. Amen. We're free in Christ to worship him and to praise him. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. And so if Jesus Christ is your Savior and Lord, then this should be your wholehearted response. Can I get an amen? To be surrendered to God. And although, saints of God, We all love the comfort of knowing that we are saved and our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. How many are so blessed to know that?
Amen.
Amen. There should also be progress in every area of our lives through the surrender of the Lord God and His will. It's all about His will. Can I get amen? Now look at this. A surrendered life begins right at salvation. The moment we surrendered, the moment we gave our heart to Christ, that was where we threw in the flag, the white flag of the world. Can I get amen? No longer are we struggling with the devices of the enemy. Praise God. The Bible said, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. When God set us free, we are no longer captive under the enemy anymore. How many are so blessed to know old Slewfoot isn't your master no more?
Jesus.
Oh, come on. He had us doing some dastardly things, didn't he? Oh, yes. Too many gross things we can't even talk about here on this pulpit. But God has delivered us for such a time as this. Praise God. Praise God. Now, look, listen to the word. Because if you're fully surrendered to God and you're born again, this will take place almost immediately the day you get saved. It's right up here in John chapter 10. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. You know why we are in church this morning? Because we're following Christ. We're not following Amazing Grace. We're not following Pastor Fee. We're following Jesus. Amen?
Right.
Amen. And this is the place where God's word is proclaimed. This is the place where God's word is lifted up on high. Hallelujah. There's no big I's and little U's in this ministry. It should never be that. Can I get amen? The word of God needs to be the forefront of our lives. So look at this. And I give them eternal life. This writing is in the words of Jesus. And they shall never perish. How many are so blessed to know that you will never perish because we are His now? Listen, we were all headed to hell in a handbasket, huh? When old Slewfoot was our master. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. But God has set us free. And look at this, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Knowing that God cannot let us go. In other words, nothing in this world could ever separate us from the love of God. Praise God, nothing can. Oh man, yeah, there's places where they'll tell you, as soon as you think of a thought, you're headed to hell. Listen, we live in this sinful nature. It's gonna have its own way at times. But praise God, the power of the Holy Spirit is what brings conviction in our life so that we can obey God. Can I get amen? Where at one time we had no conviction. So we just did whatever we wanted to do without any consciousness. We just did it because the world did it. But now God says, you shall never perish, Look at this. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. It says, my Father, look at this, who has given them to me is greater than all. And no one's able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Say that with me. I and my Father are one. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed to know that? So knowing these things, this should give us strength. This should give us encouragement. This should give us courage. This is what the church needs today, is courage to stand for God, to be a spokesman, to deliver God's message without any fear. Can I get amen? So what if they look at you with a dirty look? Come on. I remember before we got saved, we were at parties all day long, mad dogging people. What up? Listen, they're not going to smack you upside your head because you're sharing the gospel. One of two things will happen. They'll either run to the cross and embrace it, or they'll run from you. Praise God. And I've had many run from me, especially when I first got saved. When I first got saved, it was like someone gave me an AK-47, and I was going, repent or perish, repent or perish. I had no wisdom, but God has given me wisdom. Down the years to, hey, listen, slow your roll. Come on, just love them and tell them the truth, but love them. Love them through it. Can I get amen? It's easy to cast someone away. And it's so easy to just ostracize someone, but it's harder. It's harder to love someone. And so, saints, there is nothing we can do to save our own souls. How many believe that? Nothing. But we must holy trust in Jesus Christ, who bore our sins and paid the penalty that you and I deserved. How many believe that we deserve the penalty here? That's what the Bible says. And it's ironic that we surrender our souls to his authority for what? Salvation. Yet to try to control other areas of our lives. Listen, there's areas in our lives that God is still working on, isn't he? Come on, it's time to give that up now. It's time to give that to me. Can I get an amen? That's right. So, yes, if Jesus is our Savior, how many believe he's your Savior? Amen. He's our Savior. Amen. And we acknowledge him as Lord, then we should also realize that he is the Lord of our lives as well. Can I get amen? So listen, we all get it. We all love that he's my Savior. But here's the next question. Is he your Lord? It's Lord and Savior. Savior is that he redeemed us from death, hell, and the grave. But Lord means he is Lordship now over my life. Now I have been given to him by the Father, that he would now speak to me, speak to you, lead you in righteousness, and guide you. Did you know that he will lead you to places where you've never been before? And guess what? He will not lead you to a ditch. Old Slewfoot will lead you right to the ditch and watch you fall. And say, oh, well, I'm going to go work on the next one. Oh, yeah, but not God. Yet, saints of God, many Christians resist full surrender to Jesus because it seems too costly, too demanding. It's not like surrendering to another person, because when we yield ourselves to God, it includes every area of our lives, every area. Even the things hidden deep within our hearts. And there are some things that are deep-seated. Can I get an amen? Oh, yes, they're there. They're in here. I need to get you out too. Yet this absolute surrender, saints of God, is exactly what God expects. Why? Because Christ died for us. And you and I belong to him. How many believe that you belong to him? Oh, yes. We were bought with a price. You know that there was a price that was paid. It was paid through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. You can't put a dollar cent on it. Guess what? Bill Gates and all of his billions cannot buy salvation. And so when we understand that he is Lord of our lives, we must embrace the word of God and believe what he says. How many believe Jesus?
Amen.
Amen. Well, let's look at this. This is found in John 15. Look at this. I am the vine. Jesus says, I am the vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear what? More fruit. Listen, don't get upset when God starts to prune you. You know, sometimes, that stung, God. Well, yeah, but I'm trying to teach you something. Can I get an amen? So he'll prune us. Oh, man, we don't like that, huh? Oh, no, don't touch that, God. No, no. Can't touch this. Oh, yeah, but see, God's doing something wonderful in our lives. So we have to allow, okay, God, go ahead. Okay, it's done, okay? And guess what? He's going to prune me tomorrow, because that ugly branch will grow right back up again. Hallelujah, help me, God. Listen, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may, what, bear more fruit. You see, we think that fruit is... When we look at fruit, we think it's orange, apples, banana. No, it's what comes forth from your life. It's what God called you for. Listen, God wants to use you to the fullest. Listen, we're not a coincidence. Can I get amen? No, God created us for such a time as this, that we would bear fruit, meaning that we would learn to love him, that we would learn to honor him. But here's the hardest part. Learn to love one another. You know, God's about relationships. I hope you know that. He's about relationships. Oh, that's right. This is why if there's people in your life that there's a disconnect somewhere. Man, get back connected. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Get back connected and say, you know what? I remember what my former pastor told me. It still bears witness to me. Pastor Leo would always say, you can be so right, and bring your point across and you this and you that. And guess what? You're so right, you become so wrong. Because guess what? You lost them now. You totally lost them now. It's easy to bring up the garbage in their life. But can you learn to love that garbage? Listen, God's about relationship. And part of that relationship is bearing fruit. Listen, I know there's people that don't get it yet. And there are things that I didn't get as an early Christian. I didn't get it. But God is saying, learn, grow, learn to die to self. And that's one of the hardest things. And that's part of the pruning process when you're learning to die to self. It's not about me no more. Listen, I know our feelings get hurt. I've been hurt so bad in times past. I've been hurt by immediate family members. I've been hurt in churches before. We've all been there, done that. I destroyed my first marriage. I wasn't saved, but I destroyed it. I knew. And yet, the result of it, I was injured. I was hurt. I needed a Savior. I needed God. I needed God. I was looking for love in all the wrong places. You know, all of us can search for love. We all want to be loved. How many believe that we all want to be loved? Listen, we don't want people to hate on us, do we? And we shouldn't want to hate on no one either. But God wants to do something mighty in our lives. What he wants to do is he wants to remove the dross in our life. He wants to remove the hurt and the anger and the harm and the things that were done to us, the things that we did to our own selves. You know, a lot of times we want to blame old Slewfoot. And yes, he's in the midst of it all the time. But guess what? We did it to ourselves sometimes, huh? We did it to ourselves. So verse 3 says, you are already clean because of the word which I spoke into you. Praise God. Praise God. Now, he says this. Here's the key for us, okay? Here's the key. To be that true light in the world, because that's the topic of this message, let your light so shine. The key, though, is this right up here. Let's go up right up here. Abide in me in verse 4. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. In other words, He's not looking for lone rangers. Listen, God wants you to be under a cover. First of all, under the cover of the Holy Spirit, of the kingdom of God. Then he places leaders so that you can glean off wisdom and knowledge and understanding. He's not looking for lone rangers. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. Who is me? Christ. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears what? Much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Without Christ, we are but men and women, both what? Miserable. We need Jesus. Every moment, every day when we wake up, thank you, God, for another day. Do you know there's some people that didn't wake up this morning? Around the world somewhere. But God woke us up to give us another day. Look at this. Now, God goes a little further. Jesus goes a little further regarding the abiding in Christ. Look at this. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit so that you will be my disciples. That is so key. That is so key. Now, I talked to wonderful pastors and we came into an understanding that this is not where he casts you away and he nullifies your salvation. That's not what he's talking about. In other words, he's saying, I can't use you. I can't use you right now. You're kind of useless because you're not abiding and walking with him and doing the will of God. That's why you have stories like the prodigal son where he goes astray. And there are some good, loving Christians that for whatever reason happens in their life, they fall away for some reason. And sometimes these are things that you and I, we don't know what really took place. We don't know the hurt that they had. We don't know the anxiety they're feeling. We don't know the issue that they have experienced, and so they fall away. But we all know the story, huh? When that person came to himself, he says, I had it better in my father's house. I'm going to go back. You know what? It's wicked out here. And now I'm eating with the pigs. He was eating with the pigs. He had it good at Papa's house. And so he comes running. And when the father saw him, he saw him running toward him. He didn't do this. Let me close the blinds and muzzle the dog. I'm not home. No, he didn't do that, did he? He bursted out of the door and he ran and met his son. He said, my son was lost and now he is found. Listen, we need to rejoice when people come back to the saving knowledge. Can I get amen? There's people that you know and I know that once walked with Christ. They were once walking with God and now they're out there for whatever reason. Just pray for them. Don't ostracize them. Don't say, hey, you know what? But if that's what you get, you deserve. No, you pray for them. Say, oh God, quicken them. Oh God, Lord, we know the time that we're living. Lord, have mercy, mercy. We need to have mercy. Can I get an amen? Yes. Jesus had mercy on you and I.
Yes, he did.
He had mercy on us. We need to have mercy on others. And so what if they don't get it right now? So what if they mistreated you? So what if they slandered you? Listen, you and I will never understand until we get to heaven what Jesus had to endure. Did you know when he was up there on the cross, he was naked. The Bible says he was naked. He didn't have a terry cloth that we see in photographs and movies. He was naked. And Josephus, who was there at the time, he wrote it down. He wrote it down during the time of the apostles, the disciples. He's a historian. He's a Jewish historian. Just Googled Josephus. And he wrote down that when he saw Jesus on the cross, he couldn't recognize his gender no more. That's how ripped and torn his flesh was. And yet what out of his mouth said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Where is our heart for our brother and sister? Where is our heart for them? Can we say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do? And help me, God, restore my relationship with them. Help me, God. Because in order to be that shining bright light, we got to walk according to his ways and his will. We got to line up to him. Can I get an amen? I'd rather err on God's right than err on his what? His left. Can I get an amen? This is not a political slogan. I'd rather line up on God's word because his word is right. His word is amen. And so let's look at this right up here. Full surrender is God's perfect will for our lives. I hope you know that. You see, my friends, the application of this principle looks different for each believer. You and I are tailor-made so different from one another. There are things you love in life that I may just say, I'm glad you like it. But that's not my cup of tea. Amen? Oh, we do that, right? We know that. What one person finds easy to release to the Lord, someone may not. I'm not ready to forgive this person. I'm not ready right now to say I'm sorry. Regardless if you're right. Like I said, you could be so right and be dead wrong. Can you still find a way to relinquish it? But we can each sense what he is asking us personally to relinquish. Listen, I don't know what you need to relinquish, and I don't care. That's between you and God. But if you want to bear fruit, if you want to abide in the vine, if you want the anointing of God to just flow out of your life, then you got to line up your will with him, with his will. You got to say yes and amen, Lord. You see, it's a conviction or that thing that keeps cropping up when we pray. You ever notice when you get before God and you start praying, that one thing keeps popping up and we flick it away like a fly on our ear. Next time you pray, and there's that one thing in your life that's just not pleasing to God, and God said, I need you to rectify this, that means God is getting our attention because we hear his still, small voice. Thank God he's not up there with a big, giant banner from heaven and saying, hey, wake up! I need you to see this up here. Aren't you so blessed he doesn't put you on blast? Man, thank you, God. Thank you, God. But guess what? He'll talk to you, and he'll let you know. Hey, I need you to get that right. Come on. And you know what? God is long-suffering with us. So just because you haven't got it right just yet, he's not going to send a lightning bolt. We think that God's up there, you know, with a stick. That one right there, bap! No, he's long-suffering, amen? He loves us. He waits for us to get it right. You know why? Because he wants all the glory. He wants all the praise and honor. He wants you to say, God, if it wasn't for you. Oh, God, it was all you, God. Thank you for my foolishness, God. Where was I thinking, God? Oh, come on. He takes us to that place, huh? We may not be there yet, but he's working. He's working. God is working. He's working 24/7. He's working when you're still catching your Z's. He's working. Oh, yes. He's working. Now, look at this. Jesus Christ is the perfect example of full surrender. So if there's someone to glean off, it's his life. It's his life. He showed us how to fully surrender. He showed us the way. That's why he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so he has shown us how we can surrender. And guess what? That painful thing, that one thing that we won't just let go and say, God, I give this to you. There is a little pain, and then it's gone. Yes. Listen, life is a pain. I'm 62 now. I used to just spring out of bed. Now I got the little aches and pains. Like, where did all this come from? Because you're 62 now. You're not 30 no more. You're not in your youth no more. So saying Jesus always did the will of his Father. Yet toward the end of his life, he struggled to surrender in the Garden of Gethsemane. As he withdrew from his disciples, this is what he prayed. Let's look at this. Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. How many of you seen the Passion of the Christ? Listen, he was in that garden and he told his disciples to just go wait and pray for an hour. All he asked, just go pray for an hour. So he went to the other side. He got on his face before his Father, and the Bible says he was praying and his perspiration was turning into blood. That's how much travail he had. That's how much anxiety he had. Listen, he went through, as a human, the same things that you and I suffer from. and everything was hitting him at once, he saw that all the sins of the world would be placed upon him, and that he was a drink offering, that he was the one. He realized the day had come that I have to give up my life now. I've been with these men for 3.5 years, but for 30 years of age, 33.5 years of age, it was time for him to go to the cross. Just imagine what went through his mind. Just imagine what went through the father's mind. Just imagine, some of you have beautiful children. They're all wonderful. They get on your nerve every now and then. Oh, you get that. But what if your only or your first son, that God came knocking at your door, I want your son to die for the sins of the world. What? What? Oh, come on. You guys would freak out, wouldn't you? Yeah. As soon as he said that at the door, you'd slam the door. Oh, and you couldn't even fathom that, huh? Well, the Bible tells us that the father had to turn his face from his son. And he was alone. The whole world was on the cross. All, everything that you and I, all of our sin nature, our thoughts, our motives, our actions, past, present, and future was nailed on the cross. Why do you think he sweated blood? He went through. Let me just say this. We're going to go through some things in life, and God's going to test us. I've shown you through the scripture what my son had to endure. Can you endure a little? He's not asking you to endure it like his son, because none of us could do it. Only reason why Jesus could do it, because he was sinless, but yet he felt our emotions. He felt our infirmities, for the chastisement was upon him, and he died for you and I. Aren't you so blessed? Aren't you so blessed, saints of God? My goodness. So Jesus, he knew that he had come to die for the sins of mankind. And being fully God, he foresaw all that awaited him as he suffered on the cross and bore the Father's punishment of our sins. His distress demonstrates, my friends, that surrender is not always easy and can be excruciating. Yet he never wavered from complete obedience to his Father's will. Listen, I just want to just throw this in here. When I was called in the ministry, I ran from doing this, what you see me doing now. I didn't want this until God quickened me. He spoke to me in our home fellowship. This is what I have for you. This is the life that I have prepared for you. You either take it or leave it, because guess what? If you don't want it, I give it to someone else. And I got a hold of it. I said, okay, God, it's been beautiful, it's been awesome, and on the flip side, I've had moments like I want to throw in the towel. You know why? People will come and go in your life. Some will be a blessing to you, and some will hurt you. It's how you handle it when they hurt you. I've been hurt so many times. My wife has seen me go through hurtful times in my life. And yet, he has given me the strength. He has given me his anointing. He has given me his power. And I hear his voice saying, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And one word that comes up that's never ending. And I have to remind myself with his word. He says, my grace is sufficient. Right. Hallelujah. Whatever you're going through right now, his grace is sufficient. Can I get an amen? Hey, don't let people be an influence in your life. It's between you and God. Can I get an amen? God knows the right time when to turn things on in your life and when to shut it down, and he will speak to you. Amen. We can give wonderful advice. We can be like Job's three friends. Well, guess what? I think this is happening because maybe you're sinning in this area. Oh, come on. Those were wonderful buddies, huh? Listen, we don't need friends like that. Can I get an amen? Oh, they were trying to figure out why he had boils and why he lost his children and why storms took and all his wealth went away. Listen, if you want to know someone going through, read the book of Job. But Job, he stayed steadfast. Aren't you so blessed he stayed steadfast? His own wife said, listen, curse God and die. But you know what? God gave me a revelation of that. She wasn't saying that in a facetious way. She wasn't doing it to mock him. She knew that she wanted God to end his life because he was suffering. So just because the one way that you could be taken out was curse God and he'll just boom. That was her mindset. Her mindset was just curse God because he can end it now. She had no faith. She didn't know the things of God. She didn't know that God was setting up a blessing in his life. What are you going through right now? What are you going through right now? What's really tough right now in your life? Well, here's the key. Let God's light shine so bright. Let his light shine bright. And say, hey, God, nevertheless, I'm going to honor you. I'm going to praise you. And help me through this. I may not understand what's happening right now. And I may not do what you want me to do right now. But help me get to that place. Can I get an amen? Help me get there, God. Help me get there. We need God. We need his wisdom. We need his strength. We need him to speak. Can I get an amen? Job's friends, they meant well. They loved Job. Maybe because of his wealth, I don't know. Maybe he took him out to eat sushi every now and then. I don't know. But they saw that he was in turmoil and they came to give advice. There's nothing wrong with that. But weigh it out. God, is this of you or me? But listen, this is the time when you're going through to listen to God. Read his word, be in prayer, amen? You see, once again, his distress demonstrates that surrender is not always easy, but excruciating. Yet he never wavered from complete obedience to the Father's will. There was no other way to accomplish salvation for mankind, but he had to go to the cross. Therefore, saints of God, Jesus offered himself fully to the Father and bore the penalty for our sins. Look at this right up here. This is the same kind of attitude we should have. Not my will, but yours be done. Amen? Amen. Amen. Just do it God's way. Listen, I'd rather err to the right of God. Thank you, God. Now listen to this. In a military sense, surrender means defeat. But for a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, it means victory over whatever is hindering our Christian life. You see, military, when an army has been invaded and they are outnumbered, they do the white flag, they surrender, amen? But not as Christians. Surrendering means, God, these things are crippling me. They're disabling me. They're not enabling me to do your will, so I give them to you, God. Amen. Take them from me, because I can't do it no more. I can't do it on my own strength. I can't be self-righteous on certain situations of my life, because I could be so right and be so dead wrong. Yes. And so it may require that we ask God to search our hearts and reveal any areas that we've kept for ourselves. There's some things we want to keep. I'm keeping this for me. Okay, keep it. God will speak to you about it. Amen? And so, once we've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, we must recognize that we now belong to him. How many of you believe that you belong to him? Amen? So full surrender is like opening the closets of everyone's lives, our lives, and inviting him in to clean out whatever he wants to clean out. Man, we have some closets we don't even want to walk in no more. Because we know they need to be cleaned out. Oh, yeah. But there are things in our own, personal closet that just needs to be cleaned out. Praise God. And so, saints of God, to try to keep parts of our lives to ourselves, it only hinders our walk with him. I don't want my walk hindered by anything. Can I get amen? We want to keep doing his will. Yet we often rationalize saying, this one little thing isn't that important. And yet everything's important to God. Everything. Because he wants what? He wants everything from our life so that we can bring him glory and honor. He's just looking for glory and honor to praise him. After all, saints of God, no one is perfect. None of us will ever be perfect until the perfect one comes and changes us, and then we become perfect like him. And so we all have weaknesses, so God will understand, but that's not how the Lord operates. We say, Lord, you understand my... You ever gotten to God and says, you know, God. Yeah, he does know. And you know what he knows? He says, give that to me. Let me fix it. And so look at this. What does it mean to yield ourselves to God? What does it really mean? How do we know we're yielding ourselves to God? That's why we have to go to the Word. Can I get amen? The words are our instruction. The Word is what fortifies us. The Word is what we abide in. And so look at Paul wrote to Romans 12, 1 through 2. Look at what he says. When he says, I beseech you, guess what? He's saying, listen, I need your full attention. I want all of you to look at this. That's what beseech means. It means I want your attention now. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you should what? Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Okay, so God is saying, you know what? Living holy and rightfully before him, it's required of us now. Why? Because we have no excuse. We are his now. We are the sheep in his pasture. So we can't say, well, you know what? I'm on that other side of the fence. No, you know, a true born again child of God doesn't like it there no more. Can I get amen? Uh-uh. We know what he has delivered us from. We don't want that life no more. Can I get amen? So God is saying, learn now. Learn to love my ways. You've been doing it all slew ways for all your life until you came into the saving knowledge. Now learn to do it God's way. And look at this. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's what he's looking for. He's looking that we just what? Line it up. Let's just get it right with God. I'd rather get it right with God than get it wrong with him. Guess why? Because he'll bring that same test all over again. How many of you did well in school and tests? Well, good. I'm glad. I'm glad you got, my hand was just going up. No, not me. I'm gonna tattletale on me. I used to have people do my homework when I was a senior. Yet, I graduated. Yeah, whoopee-doo. Whoopee-doo. Hey, I went to Sweetwater for 2 years, played football, then I got booted out for being a bad kid, and I did graduate at Kearney, okay? So I'm a comet. I'm a disguised comet because all my friends say, you traitor. I grew up in National City, you know. And then I remember, man, I was 1 week away from playing against them. And then I was called into the office. I'm sorry, you haven't been attending here long enough. You can't play football. What? Oh, well, life is such. But I got to graduate. So, saints, listen. Yielding to God requires that we open our hearts and our lives to Him, asking Him to take out whatever does not please Him. So whatever's not there, just say, God, this doesn't please You. And you know what? It's not really pleasing to me, but help me get rid of this. Take it, God. We must be willing to confess, repent, walk away, give it up, and lay it down. Can I get amen? Amen. Praise God. And watch God start doing the miraculous in your life. You'll see the joy come back. You'll see the anointing come back. You'll see the power come back. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. You'll be walking around, man, and people around you will just sit next to you, and they'll feel the presence of the Holy Spirit coming right out of you. Oh, that's right. You see, yielding to God requires that we open our hearts and our lives to Him, asking Him, take that thing. And until we do, saints of God, we will never become the person He wants us to be or enjoy His blessings. How many want His blessings upon your life? Amen. Guess what? Learn to do it His way. Unless you all want a Burger King life. A Burger King life is doing it my way. No, I'd rather have His way. Can I get amen? Praise God. See, it's easy to paint a pretty picture of Christianity that leaves out the cost of surrender. Oh, yeah. I'm saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, water baptized in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And man, there's still junk in that trunk. Oh, come on. We could talk a good game. We could put on a facade. But man, there's something festering here. And God is saying, give that to me. Come on, give that to me. You see, saints of God, we rejoice in answered prayer. How many rejoice in answered prayer? The promises of Scripture, the security of all of our salvation, and our heartfelt praise to God. That's what God wants us to live. He wants our life to experience that. Can I get an amen? But none of these are a substitute for wholehearted obedience and surrender to God. So what I just read, those are the attributes of being a saved person, is believing in the Scripture, security of salvation, heartfelt of praise. Those are all great attributes. But until we learn full surrender to God, those things are just we just go through the motion. We're going through the motion. I've been saved 30 years. I'm going through the motion. And there's really nothing behind it. But a sold out saint of God, man, he can move a mountain. She can move a mountain. We can all move mountains if we totally surrender. Can I get amen?
Amen.
And so, to be a disciple of Christ means every aspect of our lives is given to Him. And it's evident in our conduct, conversation, and character. Look at this right up here. What would happen if we gave ourselves fully to God? What would happen? If you fully surrendered, I remember God had to hit me with a ton of bricks to let me see, okay, God, I get it. I know the call now. I was running from God. Many of us run from things. Some of us are running from things that hurt us. What has hurt you in your walk so far? What is that one thing that just festers and it hurts us? And God is saying, give it to me. Give it to me. Saints, Jesus delights to work in our lives when we recognize Him as Lord. Such surrender affects our prayers. It affects our generosity. It affects our conversations, even our attitudes. It affects our families. It affects the workplaces and interactions with those who don't know Christ. It affects everything. And so we're coming in for a close. We're coming in for a close. Look at this. How would God respond if we yielded ourselves to him? How do you think he would respond? Listen, when we surrender and give it to God, then we can apply this one word. We can really, truly take and run with it. Look at this. And we know that all things work together for good. Here's the key to those who love God. It's not for everyone. It's only for those who love God. See, we think, oh, yeah, you know what? God's working this all out. Yeah, to those who love God and to those who are called according to what? His purpose. That's how you can apply this. We can't apply it no other way. If you half-heartedly love him, I love him today because today is the day that we are to worship him and serve him. But tomorrow, forget about it. Well, maybe I'll catch Pastor Fee on Wednesday night. Maybe not. Then we come Sunday. You got to love him with your whole heart. And then those things will be worked out in your life. And guess what? He'll show you things that you thought, I thought I was doing it right, God. And he'll say, You want these things worked out? Love me with your whole heart so I can show you the purpose of your call. You see, saints of God, some people resist surrendering to God. Why? Because they fear he'll take something or someone or something from them. We're afraid, oh man, if I give this to God, man, I don't want to lose this thing right now. The problem with this kind of thinking is that it's based on the faulty idea of who God is. God don't roll like that. He isn't waiting for us to raise a white flag so he could swoop down to do something horrible to us because we're surrendering it to him. This is our loving Heavenly Father who is generous and kind in his blessings. How many believe that God is kind and he wants to bless our life? But you will never know the fullness until your life is given to him totally. And then you're going to reap the blessings. Why? Because this is what the Word God says about who he is. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Are you trusting in him totally? King David ran from his enemies. He was in turmoil his whole kingship. And yet, his place, let me just say this. Sometimes your place is a place of worship to God. Whatever you're going through, just start worshiping him. If he's called you to be a worshiper, worship him. He'll see you through. Why? Because he loves you. Sometimes we find our peace. Sometimes we find our tranquility in that moment of praise and worship unto him. Look at this. You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes, meaning teach me your word because I'm failing you, God. I need you to teach me. Look what Nahum says. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows those who trust in him. How many have you guys been in trouble before? I remember back in the day before I got saved, we was always running from the law. There was always a day of trouble, right? We remember those days. I'm not going to say your name up here. Don't worry. Oh, man. Jesus wants to enjoy a close relationship with him, which is only possible for those who trust and obey him. The Christian life is living under the leadership of the Lord Jesus, who always does what is best. Can I get amen? Although you and I, saints, we may want freedom from sickness, sorrow, and headache, the Lord sometimes uses these hardships to remove whatever is hindering our relationship with him. Praise God Praise God. And so if we want to become the person he desires us to be, we must trust and submit to his lordship. Amen. And so let's look at this. Look at this right up here. What is hindering total surrender? And we're coming in now for a close. What is hindering total surrenderance? And I ask another question behind this question. Look at this. Is it a person, a possession, a way of life, a habit? What could they be? We're good at hiding stuff. We're real good at it. Including myself. We're all Jacobs in here. We're all Jacobs. Huh? We hide behind a facade. But God knows your real you. He knows our real us. Can I get amen? And the only way to discover what God could do in our lives is to let go of anything that he says that's not best for us. Just let it go. Surrender it. Let it go. You know, there's some things. I'll tell you what God truly, real quickly, what he delivered me from when I first got saved was the ungodly music. The music I used to listen to was perversion. It spoke about fornication and adultery. It talked about drug use. It talked about all kinds of things. You know, that hip-hop thing, man, that blap, 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 blap. If you listen to the lyrics, it's wicked. It comes from the devil. And God had to deliver me from that. And when I got saved, I got filled with the Holy Ghost. I remembered that I had over 300 R&B and jazz, and God said, get rid of it. Brother Felipe, you remember him? Evangelist Felipe Reyes? He had just gotten saved, and he was still in the Hollywood scene, and he had a big LL Cool J, and all those guys were there at this party. Oh, yeah, all the Hollywood heads were there. And I remember he said, he went to the shelf and got, give it to me, baby, my Rick James. He put it on, and God spoke to him and said, that disgraces me. He took it off, he got the record, and he bent it, and he broke it. So he got another one. It was another one by Rick James, Mary J. Picked it up. Broke it. And his associate, the guy that was helping him, DJ, what are you doing? He must have broke 10 records and says, I can't do this no more. And he walked away from that world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, right. Listen, that ungodly thing will take someone to hell if there's no repentance. God will forgive. God will repent. I mean, he'll let you repent, but you got to give it to him. And he started filling my mind with praise and worship unto God. And man, I was loving every moment. This is why in my car, all I listen to is worship and praise. Can I get amen? Why? Because it satisfies the soul now. I shared it with you earlier. I was looking for love in all the wrong places. I thought it was in music and all those wicked things that the world does. I'm praying that whoever this message is going out to would hear God's voice and give it to God before it's too late. We're not promised tomorrow. We're not promised tomorrow. God gives us one day at a time. Yesterday's gone. Tomorrow's not even here. We only have today. He only gives us one day at a time. Help us, God. Help us get things right in our lives. This message is for me too. It's not just for us and those that are listening. It's for me too. And so, my friends, let's look at this. What changes do we need to make? What changes do we need to make? Number one, we must stop rationalizing and and excusing our lack of submission to God. That's one thing. Know that He is Lord. Submit to God. Number two, trust God. Say that with me. Trust God. He only does what is best and always keeps His word. He will not deny us anything that He's promised. He is faithful. Number three, always remember that the safest place to be is in subjection to Him. Can we honestly say that we're under His subjection? Amen. You know what? When I see your lovely faces come here on Sunday morning, it's because you love Him. I shared this earlier. You're not here for Amazing Grace. You're not here for Pastor Fee. You're here for Jesus and His Spirit that's here. Hallelujah. His presence is here. Man, I feel His anointing right now. Praise God. Thank you, God. And you will feel His presence when your life is submitted to Him. We think the presence, oh, it's over here. It's over there. No, it should be right here. But if your heart's not right, you won't feel His presence because He'll wait till you get things right. My goodness. And number four, surrender today, tomorrow, and every day. Why? Because it's a lifelong practice that we will continue until we meet the Lord in heaven. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Are we so blessed? Oh, amen, amen. Listen, my friends, those of you that are watching on Facebook and YouTube, I believe God is speaking to those right now. God is speaking to us in here. If you never surrendered, if you never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, this is a great time to do so. Thank you, God. See, we serve a mighty, how many believe we serve a mighty God? Huh? How many believe we serve a mighty God? And He's what? Worthy to be praised, amen? He's worthy. And so, my friends, if you never given your heart to the Lord, I'm going to ask that you would bow your heart and your head with me, that you would surrender these things to God. Everything that we talked about, whatever's hindering your life, maybe someone in here hasn't surrendered just yet. There's things that you're kind of holding on to. Give it to God and watch God do something beautiful in your life. He wants to bless you beyond comprehension. But it's a life of surrenderance that He blesses. You can't have one foot in the world and one foot in the church. It don't work that way. He wants your total surrenderance unto Him. And so if you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus, I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family right now to pray this prayer with you. And maybe someone here that's never surrendered, then this message is for you. I don't know. I don't know your heart. God knows your heart. I'm just a messenger delivering the mail this morning. It's up to you to open up the letters and read it. Amen? Pray with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I confess to you that I'm a sinner. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise in the house. Is He worthy to be praised?
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com. Or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.